We're going to call to order the Gage County Board of Supervisors. Open Meeting Act is posted on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation: Anderson, Grunewald, Bauman, Adams, Fleece, Byers, and Barnard. First thing on the agenda is the consent agenda, which consists of the general agenda, approve minutes of meeting held June 16th, approve all claims through June 30th in the amount of $836,270.38, approve and place on file correspondence received, approve specs and call for bids for rock and gravel to be open July 28th, approve permit 864 for Windstream to repair a bad communication facility, North 9, Adams Township, approve chairman of Road and Bridge Committee to sign task order agreement on project number STPEBR32654, Barnston South, Gage County, 11524. Approve 2011 and beyond federal priority list. Approve reappointing Delmer Gertis as member of the Veterans Service Committee for a five-year term to expire June 30th, 2015. Approve permit 865 for Windstream, Nebraska, to replace a bad communications facility in East 4 Highland Township.
I move that consent agenda items 1 through 10 be approved.
Second that.
Moved by Fleece, seconded by Bauman. Discussion.
Mr. Chairman, I have a couple questions on the claims. Two of them with Boucher Law Firm and Paul Douglas. Maybe I'll save them to our executive session, probably. I just wondered, Matt, I see a $629 bill for Hampton Inn. You know what that was for? Sounds like a lot more than
that. I think that was training. I think those were three people that had gone to training from the county attorney's office.
Okay. And I'm glad Davey's here. I see it's a small amount, but we paid to replace ballots and lights in the sheriff's office. Isn't it cheaper sometimes just to buy a light it is to do the ballast? Some of these, depending on what kind of light it is. We paid to replace ballasts in lights at the sheriff's office. If it's fluorescent lights, it's usually cheaper to buy a fixture, isn't it, as to buy ballasts?
It can. The type of ballast they have, it's actually getting very hard to find that type of light fixture anymore. That's the old T12 light, yeah. And when I went down to Echo, they didn't have any Philips light electric.
You still get them?
Yeah. I think they're still around, but they're hard to get. I have changed the ballast myself, but there are times that I
can't do it. Okay. I guess the other one is, and Gus isn't here, so I'll ask him, but I've asked this about every other month. We have another $1,492 in auto repairs and oil changes. With the new vehicles we got, is there something that isn't under warranty with these new vehicles? Or I guess, and sometimes it's even higher than that. I guess I'm just starting to wonder, with all the new stuff we get, how we have such a high bill all the time on that. But I'll ask him when I see him. That's all I had. Thank you.
Okay. Dave.
Just want to make sure all the board members got a copy of the 2011 and beyond program priority list for federal aid projects. And just a quick explanation on that. Those are ranked in the order of their current readiness, like right-of-ways and et cetera, that did pop, for example, Wymore in front of Adams Northwest, which was kind of a surprise to me. And I know Shirley had some questions, and we want to make sure Philly North, you know, goes as fast as possible. But Marlin assured us that that's with the state. That was the state's kind of order of preparedness to do it. And the good news is, I think, Marlin, you said the state's trying to, they're starting to show some signs of speeding things up, or very quickly, though, this is a consent agenda. I don't want to belabor this.
On the Beatrice North, they're now at a place where they got to spend some of that federal money or they'll lose it, so they're picking that one up, and it'll probably be on the October bid letting. So.
Okay, I just want to make sure everybody was cued in with that.
Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Regular agenda, comments from the public. Ross, you're up. Give an address for the record.
Ross, step on 38 East Locust, by Roman Road, Nebraska. My number one question is, can
probably be the DEQ.
Well, I can't just say we make a phone call back to me.
Yeah.
I have a rock plug in across the road from it.
Ross, just to help you on this, the public comment, we're not supposed to interact with you. So if it's something that goes as a later agenda item, we can. So if you have questions, we'll write them down. We'll address them later. So
can he make a statement? Though?
Yes, he can make any statement he can. I'm just trying to explain it to you. Okay. So when you don't get the discussion, you're warning.
That's fine. I realize it.
Okay.
Just Rockport, they started moving there about a month ago. And they have probably, I'm guessing, 40 to 60,000 yards of dirt laying out there right west across the road from my property. They have no erosion control around this stuff whatsoever. I stopped and talked to them. They said they knew nothing about it. And every time it rains, and we haven't had a big rain, but every time it rains, I get that silt running through there. And I called the DEQ. I've seen them down there, but I can't get a return call from them. And, you know, you go out here to the hospital, there's a new silt fence around there. You go to the Kelly Wastewater Treatment, there's a silt fence there. You go to Big Indian Lake, they're cleaning mud out of that, there's silt fence down there. So I just can't understand there isn't somebody here in Gage County that doesn't respond to something like that. You know, I mean, I do this for a living. I move dirt. If our erosion control isn't in place, they shut us down. And I mean, that's the first thing that ever happens on any job, as you've seen with some of the projects around here. And I just...
Well, the courthouse even.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, just one comment is that all of those are within the city limits of Beatrice, and the city has
the wastewater treatment, is it?
Who isn't?
Philly.
Yeah, but there's probably something with Philly. I don't, you know.
They're not Big Indian Lake. You're on the NRD board. You know what? Or you were running the NRD. You know what silt fence is?
Oh yeah. But that's what the hospital is. They're within that.
I can understand that, but still. And then in the agreement that we had on our special use permit, it's item number 5. The water should be discharged back to the old site's quarry. Well, to me right now, that's almost a rock quarry out there. They got this big hole dug. And when it rains, they pump all that water up for days. It runs down my draw. I realize I probably should mow my roadside or something under my lawnmower, but that's what I use because it looks a lot better. And I get stuck in my waterway because all this slimy stuff down in this waterway. And I just can't believe it. They can get by with it. But like I said, I call the DEQ, and I feel like you are the folks that granted a special use permit. Somehow there's got to be some follow-up on it.
I think we'll have some follow-up on it. So Marlon will check into number 5 because that is on the special use.
Yeah. Marlon enforces our planning and zoning.
Yes.
And permits.
We can't give you any action or...
I realize that, but I just can't believe...
But if we're not made aware either, we can't change anything.
Does each county have to apply by the federal law for stormwater stuff?
I'm assuming, yeah.
I mean, that's federal law.
Yeah. And Ron might have help for you right there.
They are called in.
You get a little reply?
Yeah.
I'll try to get you some answers.
Okay.
What's your number?
412-806-1780. But I mean, they don't have any dirt berms up. They don't have anything. It's just a mountain of dirt and all the water runs down. It's a little culvert, not in all water. Okay.
Did you talk to them, Ross?
Pardon?
Did you talk to them?
I talked to them. They said they didn't know anything about it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are you up and running, Doug?
He wasn't picking it up. It was a little wrong, Jack.
Oh, boy. It's nasty. Marlon, Highway Superintendent Report.
I said you didn't know Jack.
start off with zoning, I guess. We're not going to have a meeting in July because of fair time, and one of our planning commission, the chairman, said if we didn't have any business, we'll just not meet. So we're going to meet in August to try and get some regulations finished up, comp plan finished up. Moving on down to agenda item, we have approve or disapprove a resolution for a safety study, Blakely Township request, intersection of Southwest 75 Road and West Hoyt.
Make a motion to approve. Resolution
10-22.
I would second that with the comment that in Road and Bridge we discussed it a bit. It seems to be, I forget the terminology, a crop intersection. Is that the term?
It's a pretty flat intersection.
It's one of hundreds we have that are unmarked in the county, and this year maybe I'm assuming there's corn a couple different directions, and all of a sudden they. Concern is elevated about visibility. I think it's our belief that we want to study it because it was requested of us, but we're a little bit leery about putting up stop signs at every intersection in the county because, among other things, it can actually breed a sense of safety that people are indeed going to stop at those rural stop signs, and we know they don't always. We'll look into it, but just kind of a level of concern. If we go about marking every intersection in the county, it creates a different set of problems.
I'm comfortable with the resolution. I'm not comfortable with the way it's worded on the agenda, directing the highway superintendent to study each intersection in Gage County.
On the agenda that way?
Now, I'm not comfortable with the resolution then. To study each intersection in Gage County for proper sign placement in an effort to provide the safe travel of the roads in Gage County, Nebraska.
It's supposed to be specific to that.
In the whereas, but it's not the second one.
Huh.
I'm not comfortable with that on that end of it. I don't believe you have time to do that, Marlon.
You need a little word in there.
Well, we can sure amend that resolution quick and still pass it today.
I think you need to.
How would you recommend that be changed?
I think I would just strike out the words "to study each" and just put "highway superintendent and intersection in Gage County and an intersection."
And a?
Just a and. Just and intersection. A-E-I-O-U and.
You know. Sometimes why.
And then your whereas says where it's at.
Yeah.
You can leave study and just put "to study a intersection."
Oh, yeah. But I just said and because A-E-I-O-U, you're supposed to use a instead.
A-N.
Of a. Yeah.
Okay. So was that an amendment, Ron?
Yeah, that's an amendment. I would move that it be amended to strike out the words "to study each" and insert the word "an" or "a."
Made a motion.
He seconded.
Okay, do we have a second to the amendment? Gary, second to the amendment. Ron?
Okay, I guess I have a problem with just a resolution, period, in regards to the intersection of where it's located. I just hate to have it every time somebody has a change in their cropping pattern each year, you get a change because there might be corn growing there or something. And also, stop signs, even if it says what's needed, sometimes stop signs are needed and sometimes they're just there because somebody doesn't want some problem solved or just watch out how they're driving, defensive driving. But it also gives drivers, I think, a false sense of security. Anytime you put up a stop sign, the other person coming the other direction thinks, oh, he's there on a stop sign, and he was going to stop. A lot of times they don't, out spaced out in rural areas. They don't even town in a lot of these places. So I guess I'm going to vote against the resolution. I'm going to vote because I don't think it's necessary at this point in time.
Marlon, if there wasn't corn there, would there be a need for this?
No.
How many other intersections in the county?
A lot. There's a lot of them.
And also,
I mean, short of changing our zoning to have a radius within, what, 400 feet of each corner?
Well, then you're starting to get specifics on things. But I just hate to see him have to spend time doing this kind of stuff. More important things to do out there than an intersection.
Mr. Chairman.
Matt.
What's the time it takes to do a sign study?
Well, I usually do a traffic study, take some pictures, or a traffic count at that intersection.
Half hour?
Well, that goes on for 3 days. Then.
But you're out there for 3 days taking pictures?
No, they lay out cable.
No.
Oh, I got you.
But your time on site?
Well, the sign techs will put the traffic counters out, and then basically, half an hour maybe, travel time maybe hour. Then I'll research accident history at that intersection. I have them maps for 5 years back at least, so it's a little time, but not.
Yeah, I mean, it's not without some work, and it, right. For whatever reason, the township has identified that they think there's a safety issue. You know, for me, it's an exercise in going through the process, and it will take some time. And you know, we may probably come to the solution that nothing needs to be done. It's just an exercise, I think.
Okay, any more discussion? We're going to vote on the amendment first. Vote. In favor, Anderson? You're voting against your amendment?
Oh, yeah, I just put it up there.
Anderson, Gronwald, Bauman, Adams, Byers in favor, against Fleece and Barnard.
Creates discussion.
Yes, it does.
I wouldn't have had the amendment. You guys wouldn't have talked more about it.
Okay, now voting on the resolution 1022 with the amendment in place. Vote. In favor, Anderson, Gronwald, Bauman, Adams, Byers, against Fleece and Barnard. What else, Marlon?
Moving on down the federal projects, we got the categorical exclusion paper signed yesterday. We turned in the green sheet. The copy I got isn't green because I didn't push color, but so that one's still moving along. The Bjornson South one, we have the task agreement that Chairman of Road and Bridge is signing today, so just kind of update on them. As far as the crews, we're doing a lot of shouldering yet. We're using the bridge crew whenever on there, too, and we're patching blacktop, cutting out holes, and putting a hot mix in them. So it's keeping us pretty busy. We're still a little short on help. One of the guys is coming back today, but then the other two is probably be August before they're back. So then that's about all I had on that. Now, there's an item on the agenda later on about part-time help. Can we take that up now?
No.
Okay.
It'll have to come through the order of the agenda. Correct? That's how we were chastised. So, where is it at even on the agenda, Marlon?
It's,
Oh, okay. We'll have to wait.
Okay.
Matt.
Just a comment and a discussion I had with Marlon, and it's more for public awareness, so hopefully Luke and Doug will pick something up on this. The railroad bridge, or the railroad crossing south of Claytonia, Marlon and I should say Marlon's probably doing most work. I'm just notifying him. It's a real mess there on the north side of those tracks. If you're going too fast, there's a washout. They put a new tube in there. It's asphalt, but it's not in the jurisdiction or the ability of the county. It's our road, but you have to stay so far away from the tracks. We're aware of it. We've tried to be a burr in the saddle of I think that's a UP line.
Right.
Is that correct? And,
yep.
And they have come out and addressed it a little bit, but it still is a safety issue. We've encouraged, I know Marlon and I both, I've been up there a few times. I've gone to this village board meeting because it's close to to Claytonia, letting people know if they know people, let them know that there's an issue there with that. I mean, it sits pretty low, and maybe Marlon could speak a little bit more, but we're trying to rattle some cages.
Right. I put another call into him yesterday because I got a call from a concerned individual up in the area and basically told this contact, the section master, that it wasn't satisfactory and that people are afraid of wrecking their cars or going off in the ditch. And so I kind of left that on his message. So hopefully they get a look, take a hold of it and do something. So.
And there's also a bridge south of that we had to skim some product off of this fall, this winter even. So we've got signs there that hopefully people will understand, please slow down. So the safety stuff's in place. We've talked to folks, but someone that's not used to riding that road, if you're northbound there, that could throw you off.
Yep. Another thing I had that before I'm done here is we have a Gage County Highway website now. It's gagecountyhighway.com. So if any of you are interested in looking it up, it's pretty self-explanatory. It's got different buttons for different departments, for zoning, for weeds, for so if you're interested, you can sure look around, see what we're up to. So,
Mr. Chairman,
Matt.
Sorry to keep. I want to have this conversation because I don't think you're doing your website justice, because there's information on there related specifically to townships, and this is something that came up this last winter. People didn't know, do I live on a township road, a county road? So I think this is excellent for the. It's less than $200, I believe, to get this thing going, and those claims will come across. But people could get onto the website and see, do I live on a township road? There's phone numbers of who to contact. So I think that's great, a great public service to that one thing alone, outside of the general information that's on there, where people, I think it looks like almost like a plat map, doesn't it?
Right.
And so people can get on there and see where they're at and where they live and who to contact. So I think that's great, because we had talked about that this fall. So that's
excellent. And we got, with that map, it shows the difference and I need to probably have staff put the explanation on that, which roads are township, because the township roads are black and the county roads are green. So, but then we also have a zoning map on there, so anybody can look up their zoning district. So, but, for around $150 for 2 years to keep it up, but it'll take some changing once in a while. So. That's all I had till later then.
Okay, Marlon, hold on. I'm still debating with myself on allowing the clerical. I mean, can we as a board move to have your discussion come in while you're here? Because we modify our agenda when Paul Douglas shows up. We're paying him $300 an hour or whatever, but that's why we modify it. Can we modify the agenda to move the clerical while Marlon's here?
So moved, if you're looking for
that. I am looking for that.
Second.
Moved by Anderson, second by Bauman. Discussion? Vote. 7-0 in favor. Marlon, the clerical position.
Yeah.
Matt, did you want to start off, or should I?
Well, I think we talked about this. Well, I know we talked about this in Road and Bridge, and I think the discussion we wanted to have there is Marlon has a clerical person working for him who is fairly instrumental in doing the website issue, just as a starting point here. She apparently had worked as a co-op type situation. She's done with school, wants to bring her on. So there was differing discussions in Road and Bridge and Finance Committee about where we were going to bring her in as a wage. There was a discussion where what that wage was going to be, when it was going to be started, but there was actually a wage that was turned in that we had no consensus on, and so we wanted to back off and clarify that. So I thought it would be very appropriate, because we're so close. Well, tomorrow's July 1st, and wanting to get consensus of where this wage is going to be, what the position is, how many hours it's going to be, because there's differing discussions. So.
And right now we're dealing with the FEMA disasters, and any extra help we can get on all that clerical stuff is great, and she's good at it, organizing that. She's been there, I think, going on 3 months now. So My suggestion was $9. Can we talk about that or not? I don't know.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah. And she's been there almost 3 months doing a great job, so.
She's an $8 an hour employee now, and there was some discussion. My understanding was I had some secondhand knowledge about in Roden Bridge they didn't want to change the wage at all. Ron and I talked about it. I was comfortable with $9. Ron says, "Well, how about $8.50?" And I thought we were trading horses for a second there, but and I said, "Well, how about $8.50 starts in July, and then in 6 months we go to $9." So, you know, looking at some of the wage scale that we've used for some of the other elected officials in an entry level clerical type position, $8.50, and I think we're talking less than 30 hours a week. It'd be part time, no benefits.
We arrive at about 32 hours. Yeah. Less than 32.
Well, that was a discussion, but I thought, you know, we need to have that here too, because
Gary.
Yeah, when some of this FEMA stuff from all the flooding and all that's done, does a position go away, or is that something we've added permanently? That's my first question.
No, it can go away anytime that.
Second question is it not correct that she went ahead and was paid $9 an hour? Is that correct or not?
Well, the attempt was.
So she was never paid $9 an hour.
Right.
No, she was paid $9 an hour.
I thought you were going to take it.
Well, we were going to take it back, but okay. She was actually paid.
So she was paid $9 an hour. How did she end up getting paid $9 an hour if nobody approved it?
I turned in the claim and nobody, I don't know if finance didn't have time to discuss it then or didn't.
No, we did. That came in after the finance committee meeting.
The finance committee never approved the $9 an hour.
And so that's it.
And that was part of the discussion I wanted to have is because even though I was in support of $9 an hour, no one person can take action by themselves. It takes board. And so I didn't want the impression to be that Matt had said, yep, ring her up, $9 an hour. And so that's why, again, we talked about it in Roden Bridge and wanted to bring it here and just have that discussion that's out here that, you know, if we're comfortable with where we're going, but that there was a claim that was turned in and there'll have to be a reduction or to go back if that's what we decide to pull some of those dollars back.
Another claim has been turned in by them then because we told them, you guys told us that you wanted it back down and then whatever you decide on will be the next check.
Is there a motion?
She's being deducted.
Is there a motion?
Well, this is just discussion.
Just discussion. Well, I know.
And approve or disapprove.
Well, and this, yeah.
I would move $8.50 for not more than 32 hours a week for the part-time clerical person currently employed, and if the work is satisfactory and she's still there in 6 months, go to $9.
Second.
Moved by Anderson, second by Bauman. Discussion. My question is, we have a policy in place on what we pay our temporary employees in the courthouse. What is that?
Well, that's gone by the wayside now. We don't have anything set.
We've always had it set, so why has it gone to the wayside?
Because of the wage thing that Matt's working on.
But that's not in the... Is it,
it's
is
not
the,
in place.
I don't know, then.
Temporary employee, is that this? Is that in the handbook? Because we didn't amend the handbook.
No, temporary, we've passed wages on temporary employees.
There have been in years past, and that is part of the... the handbook.
I don't think there's been
anything for quite some time.
Okay.
But would the part-time wage pretty much depend upon a job?
Well, we had it broke down different.
Because you might have somebody who wants a part-time engineer or a part-time attorney or something
like
that.
Pays $8 an hour, I think. I can check.
Attorney's office pays $8 an hour for clerical.
I will double check, though, on that. I think that's what he's...
I guess my question, I guess to finish up what I was talking about, is it looks like we're going to have a lot better communication. As in other departments and other employees that work directly for Gage County, we've started to make things a lot more accountable with some past actions of the last month or so, and I think we need to continue that and make sure that we're fair and even when we do that with all employees that work for us as a board. And so I guess I'd ask Marlon to see if we couldn't improve that a little bit. Everybody's on the same page, so Marlon don't get in trouble, and so the board knows what's going on.
I have to call for a question.
She's getting an answer, and then you can.
This is tough negotiations, guys.
I was at a funeral that day, but I have no problem with the $8.50 and going to $9. And I think he needs the help with all the FEMA paperwork he has.
Both of them get $8 an hour right now.
Both get $8 in the county attorney's office. Okay. Any more discussion? Vote. Anderson, Groenewald, Bauman, Fleece, Byers, and Barnard in favor. Adams against. What else, Marlon?
That's all I got.
Jim, tourism report.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
After Dom's next year. I think she's got something.
Hi, Chairman Adams. How are you?
Good.
Good. First page there, just a couple things I wanted to explain. Under income for tournaments, why it's negative $100. That was just a refund on a basketball tournament that we had held in February. On the next page that I handed you, you can see the last check we received was for $3,673.78, and we got that on June the 4th, so that was after the May breakdown on page 1. So actually, we're, if you add that to the income side, we're in the black. We're not in the red, but that always lags a little bit. So on page 2, also with 2 months remaining in the fiscal year to be recorded, it looks like probably going to be somewhere in the vicinity of $46,000 or $47,000 in the 2% tourism money that we get, which would put us on track with the years 06 and 07 ahead of last year. I think 07, 08, from my understanding, there was quite a bit of pipeline work and that sort of thing being done here, so that's kind of why that spiked up that particular year. On the last page, my activities, just things I wanted to highlight, is I did have a meeting with the Nebraska Restaurant Association. They're considering having their annual golf tournament down here. It'd be for 2011, so working on that. And then I did attend a brochure swap out in Hastings, and which kind of leads me, Mr. Byers, you asked last time about various motels where you're not seeing. It really does come down to money, to be honest with you. You can pay a service to go distribute the brochures in the motels on a certain route, and we discussed that at our last CVB board meeting, and I am going to get some pricing on that, and we'll see if we can do a better job of that. This brochure swap does a good job of getting it in the rest stop areas along the interstate.
Oh, okay.
But as far as the motels, it doesn't really cover that. So
okay.
And then just to brief you real quickly on just some upcoming things. On July 29th, we're going to have about 40 people from the Ambassador Club of Geneva State Bank in Gage County. And then on September 29th, about 30 people from Metro Community College in Omaha. They're taking a tour. And then on October 20th and 23rd, two different tours through Kincaid Bus Tour Company. They're very interested in visiting and chatting with Beatrice Bakery, and made famous by the Food Network. And then the annual Texas-Nebraska Longhorn Association in the end of October is coming up, and that'll bring a small group to town, but a good group nevertheless. So any questions at all? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim. Yes.
Sure. I may have
here. I got one. Okay.
Yeah.
She can have one.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Do you want to place it on file?
Yeah. I need a motion to place on file.
Second.
Moved by Bauman, seconded by Anderson. Discussion. Vote. Mr. Douglas is here, so we need a motion to go into executive session to discuss the pending lawsuit. Moved by Anderson, seconded by Bauman. Discussion? Vote? 7-0 in favor. Paul, do you have any idea how long to tell the them anyway? 10 minutes more. So okay. Unless you have a lot of questions. Okay. 10 to 15 then. Blame Paul, Luke. Don't look at your watch. Blame Paul. Luke walked in and did this.
Time don't. Time don't mean nothing to a newspaper.
Need a motion to come out of executive session.
So moved.
Moved by Fleece, seconded by Byers. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to enter a motion that would read as follows. For the purpose of taking all necessary measures he deems appropriate to prevent any liability to Gage County, Nebraska, I would like to make a motion that we authorize Paul L. Douglas to review various lawsuits or pleadings filed by several individuals who were incarcerated and released who had been prosecuted by the Gage County Attorney.
Seconded.
Moved by Anderson, seconded by Gronewald. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Thank you, Paul.
Dave.
Approve or disapprove change order 24 on general construction for time and materials to install new woodwork around two window openings on second floor in the amount of $1,409, new additional software from the elevator manufacturer to interface with the security system in the amount of $4,801, and time and materials to infill existing penetrations north wall of ground level corridor in the amount of $173 for a total of $6,383. Ron.
I would move that change order number 24 in the amount of $63,083 be approved.
Moved by Fleece.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Discussion. Gary.
Yeah, Rex. Our engineers and architects and everybody, when the elevator and all these, I guess it's the big one here, the interface for the security system and the elevator, who dropped the ball on that and didn't have that figured out? I mean, how did this happen that somebody didn't know what was going on with the other part of it?
Security system was an after of the contract for the elevator.
They knew, didn't they know they were going to have to all tie in?
No. Not when they put a bid into for the elevator, no. Way back.
So it's the elevator system. So the security system, when they came in,
required the elevator to interface with the security system of the courthouse.
And when the architects had the elevator bid, the whole plan, everybody knew we'd have a security system.
No, that came much, much later.
We weren't going to have a security system when we started.
Well, we had one at that time.
Yeah.
But we updated it. Remember, here about three or four months ago, that's what created the software that would be needed for the elevator.
It was after the fact of the elevator, security was.
I would mention it's hopefully it never happens, but there's so much electronics and security and interlacing systems that if sunspots ever interrupt us, this courthouse
shuts it down.
The sprinklers will go off, the elevators will go up and down, the doors will clang. It's hilarious what all is dependent on everything else, and they're all interconnected. I feel these. Dave's going to have to be a master wizard just to keep this place running from here forward.
Rex, and what that last one, we had that, I think we paid the claim today or we're going to or something. Tiemann's filled in that is, oh, it's on the north wall. What are the penetrations you're talking about? Is that something?
There were two large 4-inch diameter conduit, electrical conduits that were coming out off of the old panels, and then they went into through the courtroom or the corridor wall and then transited down the corridor. We just were able to remove those here last within the last 10 days to do our final switch over here, and so that those in that infill was occurred
when,
at that point.
When the electrical engineer gave us the bid, he didn't, and he knew he was going to change out new panels and that. They didn't have, there was nothing in there figuring they'd have to do that.
Well, it wouldn't really fall into the electrical engineer's aspect to think of that. What it is basically is a development. See, that was all a hard ceiling down there that no one had access to. And so what it ended up being was when that ceiling came down, we saw everything that was in there, and all of us remember what a spider web that was down there.
But when they realize it came through, they had to figure it come through up there somewhere. When you looked at the job,
where?
Right, but we've just now been able to get to the point where we can patch it, and that wasn't discovered until well after the bid was accepted.
But you knew where the electrical lines came in from the outside, didn't they?
Well, yeah, we know where they come in from the outside, but this is from the mechanical room and the old panels through into the corridor. So there wasn't really a way to find out exactly where those were penetrating and where they were going.
Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Review quotes and approve or disapprove materials for sound systems for Project 1, which is a county courtroom. Project 2 is district courtroom.
Yeah, we've asked for quotes, Tom has got some additional quotes for us to look at. These are the sound systems in the Gage County courtroom and also sound systems in the district courtroom. They are separate projects involved.
Thank you, Tom.
Matt.
Will these be paid for by Friends, the courthouse?
Huh? No.
These are not.
Yeah. Now, we figured this was part of the courtroom needing a sound system, which they didn't really have much of before anything started. So.
This is outside of a change order, correct? This would just be...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is a...
add-on.
This will be a whole new...
separate contract.
Contract with whoever ends up... providing the information or equipment to.
And this is material only. Correct?
This is a material only bid, and I made five requests for quotations, and I received four responses. And their quotations from each company are included. The one thing that I will note here is that the winning or the bidder with the lowest figure lumped both projects into one quotation. And that the way he has it priced, it would be easy to separate it out. And he, at the same time, did not include all of the materials, probably just missed a couple of lines, and so I went in there and copied the numbers that were there for the same material in another part of the bid, actually just increased quantities, and added that to his bid, and the second page of that reflects what I received. This is all of the materials for both courtrooms except the speakers that go in the backs of the benches. It's been very difficult to find a supplier for those. We finally found one, so I've ordered samples of the various speakers and styles of grills, and those will be taken to Pat at Radigan's, and they'll build a prototype of what will go on the back, and then we'll know pretty much what we can use. And the additional money on those speakers is going to be right at $2,500 for 65 speakers. So there you have it.
Tom?
Sir?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Do you have a figure for the separate courtrooms, the county courtroom?
The three of the bids in here have... were both quoted separately. The fourth one, which is the winner, and he's his sheet is sitting there in the last, he lumped it together, but it would be easy enough to, for me to sit down and separate these out if you would like me
well,
to.
Well, just approximates, I think, you know, on Monday at Building the Grounds, you had estimates of...
Well, this the second low bidder, who's only about $100 off of the lowest bidder, was Full Compass Systems, and their bid for the county courtroom was $10,389.29.
Okay.
And for the district courtroom, $13,021.45, and that there isn't going to be but maybe $100 or so difference in the low bidders.
So that gives some idea, and then like for everyone's benefit, because we were all a bit curious there on Monday, please describe the type of sound systems. County court will be more traditional, I think, with several speakers, but district court, you're going with the back of the bench speakers, and that's of interest to people, I'm sure.
The county courtroom, by virtue of the way it's laid out, simply has a couple of speakers on one on each side of the seating area, which makes a total of four speakers. It's such a small room; it's difficult to do anything hanging from the ceiling or putting central clusters and taking into account the height of the ceiling. So what it chose to do was go to a slightly non-traditional thing and put the speakers in the back of the room and near the in the three corners of the room, with the exception of the corner of the bench, and let them hear them in that manner. The electronics package in there is such that it's designed to feed the recording equipment that that the county court uses. It has monitoring systems at the witness stand and the bench and the counsel tables, which allows each individual to hear what the other individuals are saying, but not themselves, back through that system. So it works very nicely for that. And then the judge has some controls at his bench about the size of a switch plate that allows him to start and stop the system and mute various microphones if he so desires, really anything they can think of they could do from there. Yes, sir.
Tom, does this interface with their recording equipment?
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's part of this system.
Like what we've done here.
Exactly. In the district courtroom, it's such a cavernous room, and in the acoustics in there would be fantastic if you had a church choir, but obviously this is more spoken word. Placing speakers in there was a major problem. Anything that we would be able to do would probably be met with some resistance from an aesthetic standpoint. So after looking at and taking a look at various methods to do this, we went through with an old technology type of system called a pewback speaking system. And this is true of both the jury and the gallery. There are speakers mounted on the backs of each one. Aha! Perfect. There are speakers, if you want to pass that down, there are speakers mounted on each one of the backs of the benches and also on the front of the modesty rail. They're built into the woodwork themselves. Speakers are mounted every 2 feet. They're operated at a very low level, and it keeps the sound just in the area of the seating rather than bouncing out through the bouncing around in the room and up on the ceilings and the like. And from an acoustical standpoint, it's an excellent thing because everybody feels like they're sitting within 3 feet of the judge or the witness or whomever. And it also takes care of the aesthetic problem because there aren't going to be any speakers hanging from the ceilings. I really think that's probably the big deal right there. So what you're seeing is the design of a pewback system that uses wooden grills on it. We felt that it might be a little dangerous to put wooden grills in some of the galleries. If somebody got a little disgruntled, they might start poking at it with a pencil or something. So our problem has been is to try to come up with a metal grill system that will look pleasing on the back of the benches, and we're in that stage right now. Yes, sir.
To run the wiring to these speakers, how are they going to do that? Is that going to take extra money to try to figure out how to get where we? How are you going to lay the wires to get to the pews? I guess, Tom.
Well, they'll be underneath of the. That'll come up underneath of the floor.
Is that already? That's opened up, so it won't be an extra expense.
Yeah, we're in good shape underneath of there. Yeah.
There is what I think you estimated, what, $2,400 or something for
roughly for the speakers and grills. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's not included in here because we haven't really settled on what we're going to use, but it's in that neighborhood. So I don't foresee that cost being exceeded.
What's the labor going to be to install this then, do you think? We'll get to that at another time.
Well, the labor for the installation of the system was in my consultation fee.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I didn't charge enough, did I?
Oh, we appreciate
not
it.
Not for 65 speakers.
We'll put your name on a plaque.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If something goes wrong with the speaking system, your
call,
name
call.
Will be...
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You put your business card in there by each one of the pews where that speaker's at.
And since I have your attention, something needs to be done with that sound system in here. Remounting these speakers, and I don't know who you've got planned on doing it, but I would prefer to be here when it's done because I think the sound system is going to need to be retuned. But listening to it this morning, it doesn't sound right. So, if it's an issue of money, I'm more concerned about my reputation than I am the money on this one. So,
between him and Davey, they can probably
let
me know.
Yeah, you can work it out. Okay, do we have a motion to accept?
I would move that we would approve the quotes from Broadcast Supply Worldwide for both courtrooms in the amount of $23,396.67. Rick, do we have to separate those because of the different projects?
Preferable to do so.
It's separate. I mean, we can do it.
Separate but, projects, a
yeah.
professional
mm-hmm.
services contract, yep. and we're just buying the materials on separate
yeah.
projects. So.
Right.
I can have them separate that out so that it's on their responsibility.
Probably not necessary, but just the information that sometimes somebody go back and find. Okay,
total for project one and project yeah. two. You can split it down the middle if you want.
Yeah.
And this also, I failed to mention, this includes the freight.
Rex.
Gary?
Tom, do you have a preference to suppliers at all? Because between the two lowest bids, there's $13.77 difference.
I have no preference one over the other.
Apples to apples, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. They're all bidding the same identical stuff.
We need a second.
Second.
Seconded by Bauman. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Normally it's now when Ron looks at me and says,
I know.
Need a point of privilege, we'll recess 10 minutes.
I'm
going to reconvene the Gage County Board of Supervisors.
Please.
Attendance by observation. Anderson, Gronewald, Bauman, Adams, Byers, and Barnard fleece temporarily out of the room.
Where are we at?
Okay, approve or disapprove interlocal agreement between Gage, Jefferson, Fillmore, Saline counties for Southeast Nebraska Drug Court.
I can't afford that kind of temperature at home.
I just said it's 77.
You're from the Drug Court. Couldn't figure out where you're from.
Oh, okay. And is this one you want me to use for an original? He thought you
could. Thank you.
You have that, Mel.
Thank you.
I'm Sarah Rinney, and I'm the coordinator of the Southeast Nebraska Adult Drug Court. And I'm here today to request your continued support of our drug court by supporting our interlocal agreement and hopefully getting your signature today. Just to give you a little background on where we've been, we've had 52 people accepted into our program since October of 2007. We've had 17 successful graduates, including 9 in this past year. Out of those graduates, we've had only one that has actually come back into the system by way of getting a DUI. Otherwise, everyone else has been successful. And I do check on them every 6 months just to see where they're at. So far, we've had a really good success rate. We've had 6 terminated total for noncompliance, and we currently have 29 active cases in our drug court as of this past Monday. During this time, we've had 8 Health and Human Services cases closed due to our participants meeting the requirements for Health and Human Services, getting the treatment that they needed, and getting their children full-time back in the home. And we've had 5 drug-free babies born during this time as well. We've had 5 that have completed GED programming and moving forward with education. We have 2 that are currently working on their GEDs. We've had 2 complete associate's degrees, and we have got 2 attending college classes now. We've had 1 complete their bachelor's degree and 2 others that are close to completion. So these folks are working towards their goals, and not only are they staying sober, but they're, you know, providing services to the community, and they're working. We've only got, out of our 29 cases, we only have 5 that are not in the workforce, 3 due to being in residential treatment at this time, and 2 are stay-at-home moms. So everyone else is working and employed. If they're not employed, then they do community service in their respective counties. So,
a couple of questions.
Yes.
Fillmore is no longer in it then?
They are in it. In fact, as of Monday, we just picked up another Fillmore County case that just started drug court.
Why is there no contributions? I'm trying to figure out why Gage County jumped 30-some percent.
Mm-hmm.
38.
Mainly, it's eligible cases. There's a lack of eligible cases in Fillmore County. Depends on the referral process, too. But if they've had other applicants, but due to other charges that they've had in the past, they were disqualified. They weren't qualified for our program. So
I think if you look at the number of cases, we're over 70% of the cases that are being handled in Gage County. And then you look at the cost is like 60% or something. So
I have 4 pending cases for Gage County at this time that are in the application process.
This is based on a Saline County?
This is all the counties.
Yeah, but where are you based out of?
We're based out of Saline County.
Mm-hmm. Also, I think you need to look at the number of cases of Gage County, but if we didn't have the drug court, what would our cost be?
Absolutely.
Right across the street for those same number of people.
Roughly, with our 17, correct.
$12,000.
With our 17 graduates, and this figures in what they would have cost sitting in prison as opposed to our cost, we've saved approximately $500,000 just on 17 individuals that have graduated. So, you know, your average cost is $65 a day across the street. So if you've got someone sitting over there for charges, you know, and about $32,000 to $33,000 a year for someone sitting in prison. So,
as we look at every proposal and budget to try to control costs for law enforcement, for incarceration, for maintenance of all of those programs, this is an absolutely fantastically run program. Dollars are well spent, and I just couldn't be more supportive personally.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm surprised more counties haven't taken this on. I just noticed here, well, it was 2 weeks ago, some counties out in north central Nebraska, mm-hmm. or western Nebraska, was it like a dozen counties finally decided,
yes,
hey, this
they
might
all
be a good deal for us. Let's go ahead and give.
They're
it
growing,
shot.
And not just
about
drug
3
courts.
Years,
uh-huh.
I think 3
mm-hmm.
years now.
And it's not just drug courts. You know, there's family court. There's DUI courts. There's, you know, multiple problem-solving courts out there, not just drug-specific like we are. So, but they've all had really good success rates.
I remember when we started the first courts in Douglas County, and I went to visit some of the drug courts as they started and were the first drug courts in the state.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been very efficient.
I support the program. Just as when we started this, I believe it should be based out of Beatrice when we're 65% of the population. And I'm not going to vary off that.
Our primary reason that we are in Saline County is because it is the most central location for all of our counties that participate. you know, for someone coming from Geneva, it's almost an 80-hour or 80-mile drive to get here.
That's a hypothetical when you have zero participation, so that argument don't fly.
Well, actually, we do have one now. So
you have one, so that still doesn't fly.
But irrespective of that, we have the majority of our other participants from other counties come to Gage County for treatment purposes, so they already drive on average three times a week.
So why isn't it based out of Gage County, then, if that's...
Well, they don't live here, so...
But they're coming here for the services. It should be based out of Gage County. It's just my nature, so...
Then it'd be four times a week they're driving.
Yeah, work on that, Danny.
I would approve the interlocal agreement between Gage County and the Southeast Nebraska Drug Court.
Second.
Moved by Byers, seconded by Fleece. Discussion. Vote. 7-0. Thank you. Approve. Oh, do I got to sign something?
And then you'll send us one of the originals. They're all ready to go. And everybody will get the original. Five copies here, one for the report, and then four for one for each county. Okay. S-A-R-A-H, and then how's your last name spelled? Oh, okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Approve or disapprove agreement for EPC services between Region 5 Systems and Gage County. This is the mental health that Region 5 negotiates the price. Is that correct, Rick?
I don't have a slightest idea. I've not seen it. I don't know what it says, what it looks like.
That's what it's been in the past.
It says your county attorney has had an opportunity to review the contract prior to issuance. That's why I didn't give you a copy.
Yeah, okay. I look at all of the mail that comes in, and I've seen nothing from Region 5.
We have not seen it.
Is this the same as the last one?
Mm-hmm. I think the request amounts.
Amounts different. They changed different. The bid.
The daily rate has gone up from what it was.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
that's the only change.
Yeah.
That's the only change.
This is the one we were paying. Was it almost $300 a day? And they've negotiated it down to their amount if we went through the Region 5. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah, we're getting.
I think I read that last night.
I don't know where the contract has gone because I know it was sent to your office. I'm not sure what happened to it.
That's one of those things that I can kind of...
Call me anal, I don't know, but when the mail comes in, I, as chief deputy, see it initial every dang piece of mail that hits our office. If it somehow didn't make it to my desk.
Must be somewhere between Region 5 and here then. It didn't come back.
Is that the per diem rate or is there a rate for the year?
No, it's a different per diem.
Yeah, it's going from 110 to 121 a day.
And that's for 24 hours or less. So if you're there 5 hours, you're going to get her. For the whole $121.
It's very reasonably priced.
So moved.
Moved by Anderson.
Second.
Second by Byers. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove to not authorize withholding from wages of sheriff's office employees to be deposited with the credit union for Fraternal Order of Police Lodge. Number 45, dues effective with the July 16th, 2010.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that the County Board of Supervisors, effective with the next payroll check to be distributed on July 16th of 2010, no longer authorize or withhold from any wages or salary paid to employees in the Gage County Sheriff's Office and directed to be deposited at the credit union for dues to their labor organization, Fraternal Order of Police Lodge, number 45, and direct that our attorney retained to represent the county in the current labor contract contract negotiations, Jerry Pigsley, give written notice to the FOP Lodge Number 45 bargaining representative of this county board action.
Moved by Barnard.
Second.
Seconded by Bauman. Discussion.
Help me understand why we're doing this.
Mr. Pigsley says it's not in contract. There's no reason the county handles the FOP collection and deposits.
And with any union, it makes it less painful to have it taken out of their check, and so people don't think about being in the union, and quite frankly, it just makes them more aware that, hey, they're paying out of their paycheck. If they have to write a separate check to the union each month or annually, it's a negotiating tool.
Any more discussion?
Based on our experience with the highway union.
Okay. Vote. 7-0. Discussion on increase of insurance rate in relation to safety issues.
Mr. Chairman, I put that on there. I wanted to bring the board at least up to date and open it up for discussion. We had a large increase from NIRM on our insurance this year, and in talking with, I don't see Mark here anywhere, we've had quite a few claims, and so I think we want to, we're going to get our safety committee back together. We want to start looking at some things, and I'm going to be in contact with NIRMA, if the board is all right with this, to talk to them and see what we need to do to reduce our incidents and possibly introduce some safety measures that we're not taking at this time to try to keep this insurance from going up. It was a considerable raise, and if we don't start doing anything, and we have to know that a lot of it's based on the claims we've had. Other counties didn't have the increases we had, so or most of them. So that's why I put it on the agenda. If you have anybody has any questions, we'd sure like to talk about them. Otherwise, I would move ahead to do that, and Mark offered to help with that. So that's why it's on the agenda, and hopefully everybody will think that's a good thing to do.
Okay.
Matt was in some of the discussions when we met with Mark, so he's...
Yeah. I think it's a good deal. It's a good plan. Because we have to address the 7.5% increase. I think we all got that letter from NIRMA.
Yes.
Talked about some significant decreases, but Gage County got a 7.47% increase. So we have to, I think it's publicly prudent that we investigate what can we do and have the carrier come tell us what can we do to improve that.
And when I set that up, we'll have the insurance committee meet at that time. So I'll let everybody know well in advance.
There were some law enforcement workman's comp, but the vast majority was highway department, right?
Right.
I think those are the two biggest. Yeah,
almost 10,000, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's 90-some thousand to a little bit over 100-some thousand.
Yeah.
My understanding is, from what Mark said, they will sit down with the department heads and work through a plan and help you understand you need to do this, how to mitigate some of these problems. And I think we've all seen some of those claims that, you know, questionable.
Anything else? Approve or disapprove to move county attorney's office from Mashmire Building to the attorney office in the courthouse on July 6th and 7th, 2010.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we disapprove that.
Move to disapprove?
Yes.
Second that.
Second for discussion purposes.
Seconded by Bauman. Discussion.
I guess the reason I moved to disapprove is because we don't know what some of the outcomes of our other discussion after bid are going to be. I guess I would ask Randy to come up and explain what the plans are since we've been involved with this.
Yes, I've been messing with it from the beginning, and I've compiled...
And they've built the building and grounds.
Mr. Chairman, I'd still request that the county attorney present it.
I've kind of outlined those to a degree. And I'll provide you with what I think is
pertinent.
Relevant in the discussion, absolutely. We had this discussion Monday.
Thank you.
I guess...
In March, we were told we'd be moving back into the courthouse on May 1st. April, we were told that we should know by the end of April if we're moving in May. April 19th, we were told that June 1st was going to be the operational date for the elevator. We should be ready to move by the middle of May, and we'd be able to use the elevator to make that move. May 3rd, now we're told it would probably be July 1st. And on May 17th, we were told that the elevator would be certified on June 15th, which would have allowed us 2 weeks to make our plan and to get moved, which is a reasonable time, a very reasonable time. We were willing. You never heard one word from us not, you know, saying, hey, we won't move. We were going to do that. We had planned to do that, and it would have worked out perfectly for us. Elevator didn't get certified on June 15th. June 24th, it still wasn't certified. We had people lined up to come in yesterday or Monday to set up our network. By Friday, we still didn't have an elevator. We were told we'd have the elevator to move. Monday, we were told, all right, you'll have an elevator the 29th, and that the elevator is simply a matter of convenience. You can cart your stuff up the steps. Not exactly what we were told to begin with. And certainly, I don't think any member of this board would allow themselves to be treated in that fashion.
I've moved kids into dorms too many times, cart up too many steps.
Well, I mean, that's a lot of... And that's fourth floor now, Rex. That's not third floor. That's the fourth floor. So we got an extra floor. It's just, you know, just give us the 2 weeks to properly line somebody up to get this move done. And we were supposed to have an elevator June 15th. We would have been in here. I would have walked down from my office today to talk to you instead of driving across town, and would not have had a problem doing that. I look forward to it. But this is just, it's unreasonable. We're just asking.
As I told you, Rick, I'm comfortable with another month and then moving in as time allows, whatever date that would be, August 1st, I guess. And
I got some problems with that.
I guess I wouldn't expect myself to move in, you know, this short notice. So that's my stance on it anyway.
Okay.
Ron.
I'll give you my stance. I can't, this, anything that he said here is true. The only thing is what approximately July, move in here July 6th and 7th. If it takes another 2 or 3 days, fine. But I think we need to have at least 2 months, 2 weeks out of that office, because there's going to have to be some work done by somebody in that last 2 weeks of July. So we're going to end up paying for $1,600 no matter what the case is going to be. But I want some time in there so that there's some damages or there's some stuff.
I don't think there's any damage been done to that office space.
Well,
there's some nail holes. I think you expect that. There's also been a significant upgrade to that office that was required. We were going to put in temporary network, and we were told, no, you absolutely cannot do that. It has to be permanent. That building has been enhanced by our presence,
but
far in excess of anything they can claim for damage.
Until we have that walkthrough between the county and the owner of the building, I still think we need some time to do that. And this is one reason why I put a date on it. I don't want us to say, okay, August 1st, and then they move out on the 28th of July, and then we got 2 days. I have a problem with that. I've been in the rental business, and when people moved out of an apartment, they said, oh, yeah, great, everything's fine. Well, it depends on whether you're a buyer or seller, or whether you're a renter or whatever. And basically, 2 weeks. I also think that everything, 2 weeks ought to be enough time, or whatever the case would be, to do it. We've spent, almost $39,000 making improvements up there for the office and everything else. And I think it's time for them to get back into that office, and like I've told some people, they've asked me about it, when they're moving back, and I said, well, I'm not sure, depends on what things happen, but you've got to look at this as this is the county's house, and people that work here, whether it's county attorneys or county clerks, this is their house, and this is where they belong. Is here. And the sooner we get them back in here, the sooner we can justify the $40,000 or $39,000 we've spent to make improvements up there on that third floor or fourth floor, whatever you want to call it. So I guess I have to vote, you know, against your disapproval, but I think we need to set a date. And if it's...
And I don't disagree with anything you said. This was a six-month lease. We were told we'd be back in 6 months. Sure. Our office is set now for 4 months.
But
over that, and we're ready to come back.
Yeah, and
I'm damn pleased with the office space up there, and I know Randy is.
But when you look at you guys have looked at everything that's going on here. Hell, we're lucky we're as close as we were. You know, because I went back and checked everything like I couldn't disagree anything on here when they were thought this would be certified and that, but it's done, it's ready to go. So let's get everybody back in here and let it go.
I will amend my motion when we're done discussing. I believe I can do that. I agree with Ron also. They do need more time. You can't move July 6th and 7th. We understand that.
I was told Monday I was moving Tuesday.
Well, I think when we get done here, I would hope there's a consensus to know it might take a little more time. And I would agree with you. Wim probably shouldn't have told you that you can rack it up. That wasn't good. And we're not Wim, but the elevator is working.
I understand that now.
So you'll have that.
I used it?
Yeah, he used it. So we know those things, Rick. And the fact that you didn't get moved in when we told you, that's all true, too. And all this other work that's done isn't done when it was supposed to be done either. And
I will work with the board to make you comfortable about this move.
So if we're already going to run over anyway. So if we pay, I'm like Ron, if we pay one more month's rent, because as was suggested to some yesterday that you're going to move somewhere else, we would then have an expense moving it twice. So, and I know you didn't bring that up, but that was out there yesterday, and I know some board members were asked about it. And then we'd have to pay to move you twice. If it takes a little bit longer, so be it, but I don't know why we would want to move that entire office twice. It just makes no sense. If you've ever moved anything out of a house, you never want to move it twice if you don't have to.
That's
so.
I think basically what we're asking for, Rick, is, if you will, a gentleman's agreement that you're going to get started and start moving into the office, and we're going to see some progress being made.
A plan will have to be developed before we start hauling sticks and furniture, but
it's not a plan that will take 2 weeks. It's a plan that will be initiated and get going
soon, today, as far as I'm concerned.
The question that's I have to Rick is a legal one.
He's going to have to work with you and
What you folks have to realize is that we also have to conduct the business of the county attorney's office. So we don't just get up, pack up, and start going somewhere. The judges have already told us that they're not going to give us any additional time to move. We must continue to do all of our cases while this is going on, which also means that we must have our support staff doing the work that they do while somehow we're going to start moving files over, which means that when we have to go get those files and the other materials, we're going to be between two places. So give us the month to do it. Okay? It's not that we're refusing to do it. Give us the time to do it. That's all we're asking for.
You had the same time when you moved over.
And we didn't know we had to move out of the courthouse then either.
Yeah. And we were given 2 weeks and it was too short.
Well,
it was absolutely too short. And in fact, we were moving with prisoners and our own staff. And several of our own staff had to take days off because they were injured in the move. So this needs to be an orderly move back. That's all I'm asking.
Dave?
Mr. Chair, a couple comments I would make. One is that this delay on the elevator was an absolute problem. I mean, I can understand where they could not plan ahead because we didn't even know the elevator would be operational today. You know, they fired up the sprinkler system, they found leaks, and I believe they have those all dealt with, but that delayed the elevator a day or two. So I can truly understand why they were reluctant to box everything up based on the promise that the elevator would be operational the 28th or some magical date. I would hope now that the elevator is going that within a couple of weeks we can get going. But a couple of problems are from the committee meetings we know that first of all that the telephone specifically can't operate the same time in two places. That there's a transfer where, I mean, there's got to be a moment in time when those phones downtown are shut off and those numbers become active up here in the courthouse. That's just the way the telephone company says it is, and I guess you can question that, but they say that's the way it is. Computers would be the other problem. You got to have some time to get the server, at least a half a day to get that done. So at some point, there's got to be a magical switch date. I understand kind of what you're saying about you'd like to operate out of both facilities for some length of time. And,
well, I'm not asking you. I'm agreeing with you.
And I'd encourage if we could get that done in 2 weeks, I think that'd be great. And I think that's what we're
It's juggling
for.
Cats, boy, I'm telling you. Yeah. But it probably wouldn't be the first time I've juggled cats for the board.
In our politically correct world, we don't juggle cats no more.
Well, it's to answer Mr. Byers' question, I've worked with this board now for going on 6 months under his authority, and I don't know that I've disappointed you too many times.
We appreciated
and
your cooperation,
I will continue to work as hard as I can.
We count on you to work with us to get to that.
Well, and that's directly through Randy that I do that.
The question I have for you, and I'm going to stick with it, I believe somebody besides Gage County is responsible for this next month's rent. We have
and
been told from days, here's a deadline, and we told them if we were not in here by the deadline that they shot, somebody's responsible. I don't believe we should assume that.
Well, Rex, on the other hand, you know all the additional projects we've dumped on to the contractors and others, you know, just the entire second floor, just for beginnings.
Sure, I'm very aware of
it. I mean,
but they're also the ones that gave the deadline that they could meet.
And nothing turns a wheel till the fire marshal says go. I mean, the elevator could have run a long time ago, but legally, I guess can't unless the fire marshal approves. So, I mean, there are just so many side factors coming in that I think
we are where we are.
Degree are out of anybody's control. I think we're just trying to do the best we can.
We won't be in that building in August 1st. We will not be in that building, and it'll be done in an orderly fashion, in a professional manner, because that's what we are.
Take four.
And it'll be done that way.
Mr. Anderson, I'll tell you that
two guys in
we
truck.
Are boxed up. There's I'll a lot tell you of what. Stuff that's already there. If you come to our office now,
give him to July.
My desk.
He's sitting on. July he's got his computer sitting on top of the box.
On file boxes.
So we have been preparing. It's just simply that there are certain things that we have to do. Certain considerations we have to be able to do this in an orderly fashion, so we just can't do it in a day or two.
And still run to court so I don't get thrown in jail.
Gary.
Mr. Chairman, I want to withdraw my motion, and I'll make another amended motion.
Withdrawn?
Yes.
Withdraw, you don't have to amend it, do you?
Okay, I just want to withdraw my motion.
Withdrawn the motion, and who was second?
Second to that.
Withdrawn?
Okay. I would now move that we approve the county attorney's office moving from the Meshmeyer building to the attorney offices in the courthouse by July 18th is the date Ron had.
Well, if that's Saturday, make it the 17th.
Okay, 17th.
Second.
That gives them enough time to go back and look at the building and do their walkthrough.
Is that good enough or need 3 weeks or what? I mean, we're paying a month's rent irregardless, aren't we?
Hey, I'm not trying to be difficult. When we had planned to leave as of July 1st, several months earlier, we set up our vacation schedules. Both I and one other attorney are going to be gone during this next 2 weeks. That's going to cause some difficulty for us. What I'm suggesting is this. Regardless of what Mr. Moshmeyer says, I don't believe that there are any significant damages whatsoever in that building. Okay. I don't believe that it's going to take much more than a day or two to do a walkthrough and get things straightened out. So what I'm telling you is we're going to make our best efforts and we're going to be out of there in time and sufficient time for the board or whoever to do a walkthrough to handle the matter. We just simply take the month to do it.
By Friday the 23rd be a better date for you?
I would suggest if you're going to give us a drop dead date.
And I think we almost need one at this point. So.
Well, I still go back. You still have.
We need a second. We need a second on that motion.
I second it.
He seconded.
Okay, Ron seconded.
You still have to have time to go in there. Walk through, it takes 10 minutes. But if you're going to find something, I don't care what you're going to find something. Believe me, you're going to find something. And I just don't want to be caught with Dave Jones having to go over there and do something, and we have to get somebody lined up, whatever the case would be, to get that thing fixed. Because if we don't put her back in, then we might be liable for another month because he won't be able to rent it.
Randy, what date are you comfortable with?
I would be comfortable with, well, I don't have a calendar on.
Friday's the 23rd. And then the last, you know.
Randy.
Gives you a week.
Wednesday the 28th. We're just throwing that.
But two of them are going to be gone, and that's what Rick was trying to tell us Monday. Two attorneys are going to be gone for 2 weeks.
That's what I'm saying, back it up to the 28th.
Do we know what the court schedule
is? If we let Dave know, if he can start mingling over there periodically, he'd know what things he may or may not have to do.
Well, let me ask Randy and Rick, is there some things he can go ahead and move that they're not using?
Well, that's the whole point.
Will you let him do that, Randy?
We're going to be moving throughout the month.
So why does we have to extend it then?
I'm not sure that we.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
But all right, let's put it this way. I mean, what's the consequence if we miss our drop dead date?
We don't want to pay another month's rent.
Well, I know that, but no, I mean, we're out. But we're out by the 1st of August.
You know what the consequence?
Yeah, we're not.
Hey. A drop dead date could be July 17th. If you're out there by the 19th, fine. But
all right.
I don't want to be caught 2 weeks.
The intent. You understand the intent.
Pick the 23rd. That's fine with me.
It's a goal to try to get everybody out of there and still have 2 weeks. That's all.
The ultimate goal is not to pay September rent. Is that correct?
I know, but that's beyond the point.
August.
You are an attorney.
I know. Well, yeah. Okay.
If they're going to start moving, a lot of this problem is going to go away. If Randy said they're going to be starting to move, well,
we'll move.
Okay.
So July 23rd.
Okay. Where are we at on the
July 17th is the motion.
The July 17th is the motion.
And we understand that we're paying rent to the end of the month.
Correct.
Randy just uttered as he walked away the 23rd.
I know he did.
Yeah, well, I suggest the 23rd. I don't care. That's fine with me.
Okay.
July
17th. You ought to feel lucky. You'll have to be there. So.
Okay. Any more discussion on July 17th as a date, correct? Okay. Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 in favor.
Six. Danny's gone.
Approve or disapprove an amount of $200 a month for office space in the new county attorney's office for adult diversion coordinator.
Move to approve.
Moved by Barnard.
I think Ron has the numbers.
Need a second.
Oh, I'll second it.
Seconded by Fleece. Discussion, Ron.
This was a very economic situation that I came up with of how I arrived at $200 a month. Probation office, I used the probation office as our benchmark. We're paying $18,000 a month for that office. Our utilities the last four periods has been a little bit over $10,000. So that'd give us a total of a little bit over $28,000 for rent and utilities. That's a monthly cost of about $2,340 a month. They have 9 full-time and 1 part-time employee. So I divided that number by 9.5 people. That came up with $246 per month per employee. I started at $250. Matt did the other negotiations and said, what about 200? And I said, okay. Now, that's a pretty logical way of doing this, wasn't it, guys, gals?
Yeah.
So that's where the 200 came from. Didn't cost much to do that, but.
Are we gonna have the payment like the 10th of the month, 1st of the month, or how are we going to set that up? Does it come in?
You can make it the 10th if you want to. Do we have a motion?
Yes, you have a motion and a second.
Let's insert by the 10th of each month.
Amend my motion to read.
Amend to the 10th?
Beginning on August 10th of 2010.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're going to want a damage deposit up front? Or
maybe.
Hey,
You want to amend the motion, you can.
No.
Any more discussion? Vote. 6-0 in favor. Approve or disapprove receiving proposals until July 16th for wall stenciling for the county courtroom.
Well, there has been some discussions about doing stenciling in the county courtroom for historical things.
Like this?
No.
Stenciling.
Yeah, it's stuff from the windows.
It's a pretty simple line pattern, and you don't have to have, Dave, you don't have to have...
But it's got curlicues.
In the county court, it was floor to ceiling, and it's just kind of the finish work. It's kind of a thin line, geometric design.
Was that there originally?
Yes. That's why they're...
Are his friends of the courthouse going to pay for that?
Yeah.
We're hopeful.
But
they get enough money.
We've got one quote, but we thought we should at least get more than one. In fact, we got one quote, and then we asked somebody else to give us another quote. It's really not. It just was informal. So we got
this
that.
Is just to receive.
Yeah.
Let's vote.
I would move that we approve receiving proposals until July 16th for wall stenciling for the Gage County courtroom.
Second.
Moved by Flea, seconded by Bauman. Discussion. Vote. In favor, Anderson, Gronewald, Bauman, Fleece, Barnard, against Adams. Approve or disapprove quotes for additional asbestos removal at various locations in county courthouse.
With some of the stuff that's going to be happening here in the district courtroom with the wiring, there's about four different little squares that are going to come up that's got asbestos underneath of it. And was it three or four? Do you have those three or four locations?
Yes. I don't have them in front of me. The largest would be the one-by-four band around the assessor's office that when we took the ceiling down in there, some offices were not glued, and others they used liquid nail. This one did happen to be an asbestos glue, so that was a large amount there. And the others were floor boxes in district court and district court clerk's office. Install the wall or the
large, a significant part of this expense is that to protect ourselves and our employees, that we set up monitoring boxes so that they're breathing in the air and doing a computer printout of air quality during this whole process. So that's just cost to doing business.
And there would also be one window panel, I think, that would come out that was on ground floor that did not need to come out, but the electrical wiring going outside would have to go out that opening also.
The quote, we got two quotes, one of them from McGill out of Omaha, and the other one's was Bachman out of Lincoln, and that was the quote of $2,440. And that'll come out of his budget on it, so we don't have to pay all that other stuff. So I would move... I would move that we authorize David to approve the hiring of Bachman amount of $2,440 to remove additional asbestos from county courtroom or county courthouse.
Second. Moved by Flea, seconded by Barnard. Discussion. Vote. 6-0 in favor. Yeah, that's it on the agenda. Committee reports. I'm just going to share a little note we got from Dr. Rice on the media may want it. Cortland had a full code, and they saved the individual, and they were very pleased. So, and they obviously attributed to Dr. Rice's procedures. Okay, we're going to need an FOP executive session update. We'll do that at the tail end. So, committee reports. I know Matt wanted to talk on budget, and then we can do the committee reports.
Everybody's got their preliminary packet, and I want to stress this is preliminary. We got all the agency elected official requests that have come in, I believe. Dawn, do we have 100% of those of what we have? So Dawn's compiled those. Your bound packet here will show you previous year's expenses, actual expense this year. When will we get those final numbers? When will we get the final ones in?
It won't show on yours now.
Because we'll have to, at some point, we'll still have to figure out what their final expenses were for each department from this last fiscal year. So those numbers will get tightened
up. We can do a printout on our expense site, but those sheets won't show them because I had to start doing it. So I had to roll my figures right away. So mine will always show those catalogs.
But the actual expense for 09-10, those will be coming. So these numbers are a little, I guess my point is, they're a little bit low. So there's still some expenses that will show there.
Our last one we have was June 17th. What they can, what she can do is take our bills payable that we paid approved claims for, take what category they, what office they went into, and add that amount to the June something, and then we'd have a pretty close amount.
And the finance committee, we'll only need to sit down and come up with a date, and we're going to start whittling through this and making any adjustments and or cuts that, you know, may need to be made, and then we'll send those proposals back. The two sheets that you have here that printed off, you can see these are agency requests. Initially, it's got the takeaway is the two right-hand columns where it's got the 09-10 budget and the 10-11 request. You'll just go through and make note of those. And again, this is all preliminary because we're going to have to wait and see what the valuations come in at, how much cash we've got left at the end of the year. And so we'll start to work through that. I think some things to note here, just going through, look at road real quick. You'll look at a 10% increase in that budget. And if you go through, and I asked Marlon about the ROC. Last year we had $240,000, and he put in $300,000. And I asked him, well, you know, who's going to be the weatherman here and try to figure out what this winter is going to be like? I think I talked to Marlon. We spent $600,000 in ROC this last year, so we missed the mark. But a budget's your best guess. So, and then we've got the motor grader in there for about $240,000. So that's the lion's share of that 10% increase. I went through this the other night and looked at. Obviously, we've got outside legal fees. We'll have to put in there.
What is that 10%? Dollar-wise amount to?
$400,000.
You look at $400,000, we get about $190,000 for every 1 cent of valuation. So that's 3 cents, 2.5 cents. Our lid is within about 2.5, 3 cents.
And that's, you know, Ron, you raise a good point. That's the thing we need to continue to trumpet, is that we're dealing with 37.5 cents plus the roughly 4 cents for the bond. So anyone that looks at your tax statement, hold us accountable for 37.5 cents plus the bond. And that's what we're trying to execute county government with. You'll also see in the packet a two-page color document that's got proposed wage adjustments in there. And Dawn and I looked at this again, and I've looked at this numerous times, but I looked at it again and I found something on here that's not right. So again, stressing this is preliminary, you'll see proposed wage adjustments in there. And I think, and I said this on the radio the other day, and I hope we're comfortable with looking at a 2%. And obviously this is, those are for the employees that the board has direct control over. The other ones in the courthouse, we had worked on a wage step plan with the other elected officials. And again, that's a mutually agreed upon plan. You know, we may have to go back and see, well, yeah, we'd like to do this, and we kind of agreed on that, but as the economy, as we get closer, we may not be able to do exactly 100% of what we thought we wanted to do. So, again, preliminary, and ultimately it falls back, I believe, on the elected official to say, do they think that their employees need that increase? And there were some last year, remember, a lot, I shouldn't say some, there's a lot that got nothing last year. So look at that. Please give Finance Committee your feedback on those. I'm trying to flip through here quickly. I made some notes last night. But I wanted to make sure everyone at least had the initial numbers that come in. And if there's any suggestions, modifications, cuts, things like that. Notice in the sheriff's here that the FOP, since that is not negotiated yet, those dollars are significantly out of there. So there's no wage dollars in there. So it looks like, boy, Gus cut his budget by $500,000. I thought that's great, but that's not a true number. Be aware of that. There's also some building and grounds dollars that are in there. There's a $20,000 line item, but and we've known that there's going to need to be some expense in the sheriff's office and in the jail. I believe there was $150,000 that was put in there, and I believe that. And I don't know for sure, building and grounds looking at trying to tackle sprinkler first or something. I don't know exactly what's on there, but I know there was a package of information that Gus gave us that showed all the different things. You're working with the fire marshal, and they're going to allow some time to work on some of those. So those are new items that are in there. Where historically, building and grounds for the jail came out of Davey's budget, but we're going to give that line item so we can track that on an ongoing basis and not have to go to Don's office over 3 years and say, can you pull all the claims and find out which ones went here and which ones went there? So that'll be accountable for that. Just trying to go quick here. You look at emergency management budget. There's a big item that's in there also. That's a $60,000, and that has to do with radio equipment. Mark's going to try and phase this in over 2 or 3 years because the radio bands are going to change, and so we have to update the radio equipment in the county vehicles. Go quick here. And I know that there's still those highway safety grant dollars, $140,000, they show as an expense. Is that potential even there?
We're still even there because last we were told, some of it was approved. They just don't know how much because with the Obama administration, they're only cutting loose 30 months at a time, or 30 days at a time on the operation. So I was going to say notify us as soon as they know for sure what we got.
Escalation. So,
and those getting it there, budget, whatever we get.
They'll show, you know, that's $280,000. They'll show up as expenses. It's not, I mean, it's tax money. It comes from somebody, but it won't come off property taxes. Those are kind of a grant that'll go through. Health insurance, you know, looks like I just tried to pick out some of the highlights here. $980,000 again. Legal fees we talked about earlier. I don't know if anyone spent much time going through this. It's great reading, let me tell you. Go through there and pick those out. I think those were some of the highlights I just wanted to discuss. I tried to make some notes there. Inheritance fund, you'll see that there's no official estimate in there. You know, I just wrote some notes here. We'll have to make sure we get the most current fund balance, decide what we plan to expend out of there. So that'll be coming up too. So please look at those. There's been some requests for new agencies, and I don't have a problem saying I don't think this is the point we add any agencies. I just don't think this is the year to do it. I think there's some fairly aggressive increases that have been asked for, and I don't think this is a year for that, my opinion. So surely we'll have, and Ron, we'll have to figure out a time to meet and sit down and kind of go through this and hash this out and see where we're at. And working with Dawn, you have a timeline of the, I think I ask you weekly, when can we sit down? When can we have a hard?
I can't do anything until Lori is done with her fiscal year today, and then they roll their figures, and then we'll know what balances we have left.
I'd say a week or 10 days we ought to have.
Yeah.
So just look at it, start whittling through that. I think we've done a fabulous job, as have the agencies and the elected officials. We've got stuff in. And I know I told Dawn that absolutely no changes, we're not going to do it. But we know that there's no absolutes, but we really want to try and not do that because we want to move this process forward. So. And there's still the FOP hanging out there, so that's it.
As you guys all have seen in the press, was it Douglas County that just asked for a 4% reduction across the board? And, you know, it's out there. It's not a good year.
You got to be reading Saunders County, see what problems they got.
I read it yesterday.
Does anybody ever, I know we haven't yet, asked any department of any less people they need to do the job? I can about imagine what the reply will be. I think it almost has to be asked, you know, because, like I said, for every 1 cent in valuation, 1 cent, it's $190,000. So can they get by with one less employee or maybe a half a part-time employee or, you know.
Well, and Ron, that reminds me when you talk about the employees and wage adjustments. Remember, as you look through this, the bottom right-hand corner, there's 27 pay periods this next year, not 26. And so in trying to compare apples to apples, it really looks like the increase would be twice as much because there's a whole another pay period there. And that would be for the hourly people. The salaried folks, they just spread that out. The paychecks are smaller. But the hourly people, there's actually another payroll in there. So it will be a little bit more expensive this next year. But it's not that we're giving that much bigger increases. It's there's an extra pay period.
We've got an awful big list of what I think are actually non-essential government agencies. And I think if we're asking all of our essential government functions to reduce and hold down, we're probably going to have to look at the non-essential, aren't we? We give a lot of money to a lot of things, and it's all worthy, but if it's more of a non-essential for what the county's actually supposed to do, I think if we ask our own to take cuts, we're going to ask everybody else to have a little bit of a cut, too, I would think.
Anything else on the budget?
Everybody and everyone's on the...
So, Don, I'll turf it on you if you'll let me know when you think you have everything that we can set up a meeting, then we'll contact. And there's no sense sitting down until we have something. So.
Yeah, as soon as I can get the figures from Lori, then I'll let you know.
Let me know, and then I'll call Ron and Shirley. And we've got space for one more, whoever wants to sit here.
Space for what?
One more.
One more what?
Board member.
Oh.
You're welcome to come, Gary.
I probably will when I can, yeah.
That's the committee report?
Yes.
We just had a short law enforcement committee the other day. I don't know if Gus wants to fill you in, or he just had some preliminary estimates on a lot of the things that he's going to need for the jail. I don't know if you brought it with you and what you had or not. But he just brought up a few things.
As you know, I'd asked the fire marshal to come down and do his inspection earlier this year, so I have some idea of timing for the budget. I think because of that, he's been gracious enough to give us some time to kind of work through these, and we're going to work on the most serious issues we want to deal with, which is the generator, I think some of the lobby doors, smoke and fire alarms, things such as that. And we've got, when trying to get a packet ready, so when I submit it to the board, it'll be all there. The ones we're waiting on right now are waiting for one more for the generator, and we're waiting for one for the windows, one for the smoke and fire alarms, and then a couple spots in outside painting. And then once we get those, then I'll submit that. Now, not all those necessarily might get done this time around. And some of the money that Matt was talking about, the $150,000, we just kind of put that ballpark figure in there to kind of have something to work off of. So that's kind of where we're at on that. The numbers come in a little less than I thought they would be. I was pretty happy. The plumbing issue, we had the main sewer line. Reitman's went and bought a machine that they can send through fiber optic somehow or something, they can see it. So I've got a CD now. I was telling the committee that we can play back now and look at it if the board wants to see exactly what's causing problems in that line. Beyond that, a couple new laws going into effect on July 15th. They've raised it from $60 a day to $90 now when they're setting out their final costs. Why the legislature did that, I do not know. I suppose they got pressure from somebody. The second one is after your 15th day of incarceration, you'll start going day for day good time. And that's what the state does. I'm assuming they're probably trying to follow what the state does. And so if every day you serve a sentence, you'll get a day off your sentence for good time if you behave. And then you get kicked out early. I can probably foresee judges still extending their sentence longer than normal. They still want them to have the time they want them to have. But that was a couple bills that came down that I thought the board might be interested in hearing on. And beyond that, that was about a pretty short agenda. That was about all I had. So
just I'm just picking seeds here. So it costs us $60 to $70 a day to house them over there. They get 60 to 90. They're going to go to a 90 day to sit out their fee cost. Do they subtract that off the fee cost and increase their length of stay? I mean, how does that work? So really, the cost is really $150.
Yeah. Well, depending on how, each inmate's probably a little different, but I'm sure that was.
Sorry.
It's politics. Who knows?
Be careful now.
Sorry, former senator. He probably knows that. That's about it. Any other questions? Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other committee reports?
Emergency management. We met last week, and Mark discussed. I'm just doing it briefly. He's there, but he's going to have a presence at the fair. And primarily, that's a trailer that he has out there with the communication equipment for them. Not going to do any education stuff out there. He'll set that up for the CERT team and for the emergency personnel for resource, but he won't be staffing. He may be out there periodically, but just kind of a support system, so the trailer will be out there. So if you see that, Still discussing the $5,400 for the to enclose that carport. Looks like we'll probably try and do that next year. Having a problem getting someone to actually call him back and do the work, and so he's kind of ferreting that out.
I found two more guys that he could call. I told him who they were the other day. They're going to come look at it? Are they either one of them going to look at it? I'm trying.
Economy's bad. Economy's bad.
There's also Rex, or Rex, Gus and Mark. There's a Durango over there, and Mark's talked about trying to have another vehicle staged down in Wymore, which was a surplus equipment for Gus, and I thought Mark had a good idea. It'll cost him about $1,000 to put radio equipment, decals, stuff like that on it, and then that would be an emergency management vehicle that we were, again, going to surplus and send to auction that he can continue to use and keep that down in Wymore.
So, but it does not go back. Mark said he's not going to be driving it all the time where he's not. So it's clear that he hasn't done or asked for something different than what we've done. So for his benefit, I thought we should make that clear. It's going to be there if he needs it.
At the county barn.
At the county barn in Wymore. Just so everybody knows, I think we needed to say that.
And then Gary already talked about the safety committee that Mark had visited about, looking at some of the insurance increases there. And then Mark had sent an email out, I believe, and we got copies from Dawn about the emergency management deputies. Those, again, are contract. We're trying to move away from some of the contract employees. Those could probably be part-time folks with job descriptions, except for Sean. He has to be contracted. So throw that out there. And those are the highlights. But I think next month Mark will visit with us, but those are just highlights. So.
Well,
Roland? Or Gary?
This might go back to law enforcement committee a little bit. I think some information that I got, and maybe even road and bridge committee, when we allow employees to take our vehicles and drive back and forth to work, I believe the IRS requires that we give them a 1099 for that value. And if that's the case, we should start doing it. So Amber and Marlon, if you use our vehicles, I think, don't they get a 1099 on that? Don, are supposed to.
Well, I think that's what the IRS is saying. We haven't done it.
I'm just saying it so we should be aware of it.
Because they have to designate if it's personal use versus business use, and so if they've got it, my impression is they'd have to go straight home, right?
Well, I'm not sure of that. I just wanted to bring it up so it wasn't a surprise to the employees when if or when we have to start doing that, so everybody will know.
Equalization continues to meet. We will be meeting this afternoon. We'll be meeting most of the day tomorrow. Again, our final day at this point is the 9th, Friday the 9th, where we will meet from 8:30 to 4:30 that day, and I think that's the last day at this point. So we have way fewer protests this year than we have in the past, and they're going very, very well.
It's nice to hear.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ron,
I just got two or three things. Cheevers will have the final update on any additional lighting that will be coming forth for the treasurer's clerk, registered deeds office. Also, they were talking about the supervisors. I guess this last row of lights, I think one of those, they didn't know if that was needed or maybe just whatever. But they're going to have everything pretty finalized for our next committee meeting. Also, they'll have a price of some kind for the generator. I think Mark for converting that next meeting also from a one phase to a three phase. And Dave Jones will be working with the two courthouse, county court and the district court on the carpeting, on the color scheme and also the quality of carpet for those. For those two courthouses, so the courtrooms. Anything I missed?
The denial that we didn't want to pay for.
The denial was what? On the new door and trim. Yeah, there's some confusion on whether the contractor included in his bid the cost for painting second floor in staining of some doors and openings, et cetera, on the second floor. And we said we don't really care. As far as I'm concerned, painting is paint, staining is stain. Now, maybe the contractors have some idea that when they say paint, that includes trim. But
Well, WEM asked them the question directly in an email, and they responded back that, yes, they'd included that, and now they're saying they didn't, although they had already put in an email that they did, so we feel that we'll deny that.
That's it's a about a $2,300 item. So, time marches on.
Details, details.
Yeah, details.
Any other committee reports?
Quickly on tourism, you got pretty much an update. Just would mention they're going to try to, well, they've had, you know, change in leadership down there. Remember years ago, we used to have in the county recognition breakfasts or something during, usually in May during tourism week. We went to Adams once and went to Odell once and have, I think every other year they had it in Beatrice. They haven't done that. In recent years, they're going to try to reinstitute that, and they're taking nominations. So if anybody here has any names or nominations of either individuals or organizations or specific events or anything that happened in the past year that needs recognition, you know, let me know or let Jim know at tourism. And I think they're thinking sometime in August having some sort of an event, probably a breakfast or a coffee or something to you know, recognize people within the county. And then kind of the cream of that crop will be moved on and nominated for some state awards. So just a quick update on that.
Yeah, that. Anything else? Okay, I need just a few minutes to update you on the FOP letter from Harding, Schultz, and Downs. And it won't take long in executive session, like a motion to go in executive session. Litigation, FOP. No, no action, just informational. Just be just 3 to 4 minutes.
So moved.
Second by Barnard, second by Bauman. Discussion, vote. 7-0.
Oops. It was the 3 to 4 minutes I wasn't sure about.
That's a magazine. Okay.
Need a motion to come out of executive session.
Second.
Moved by Groenewald, seconded by Bauman. Discussion. Vote. 7-0. Anything else for the good of the order? Meeting adjourned 11:22.
Well, the whole meeting. You got to ask.